Nissan cuts its global sales predictions. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Nissan's U.S. sales fell 19% in January. Its former chairman and CEO, Carlos Ghosn, is in a Japanese jail facing an investigation. The BBC's Theo Leggett has more.
One problem is in the United States, where sales have been falling. According to Hiroto Sakawa, the chief executive of Nissan, that's because the company's been focusing too much on sales and not enough on the brand. The other big problem is in Europe, where there have been other specific issues. For example, the introduction of a new emissions testing regime, which required companies to invest in more equipment. They had to retest models, and that's taken its toll on sales as well. You do get the impression that this is a company in a period of transition.
Is any of this to do with what's happening with Carlos Ghosn?
No, not really. Although the strategy of going for sales in the United States and discounting heavily is being placed at Mr. Ghosn's door. The leadership vacuum comes into play when they're talking about the future. Nissan is part of a global alliance with Renault and Mitsubishi. They work in some ways as one unit. There are bitter rivalries between them and disagreements over the future.
Theo Leggett there. Let's do the numbers. Now, despite those quarterly results, Nissan shares rose nearly 2% in Tokyo today. Global shares are also higher on optimism that another U.S. government shutdown will be averted and possibly a resolution in the U.S.-China trade spat. Now, South Africa's state-owned power monopoly, Eskom, has announced its worst rolling blackouts to prevent a collapse of the national grid. Eskom generates approximately 95% of the country's electricity, and South Africa is the most industrialized economy on the African continent. The BBC's Milton Nkosi is in Johannesburg.
For instance, the traffic lights don't work on major intersections of the roads when there are power cuts. You can have your power available from 10 a.m. to perhaps 6 p.m. And then from 6 p.m., you've got what is known as load shedding all the way until 10 p.m. That's how the rolling power cuts have been distributed by the power utility Eskom here in South Africa. Yesterday was the worst, which was load shedding stage 4. That means the power grid had to shed about 4,000 kilowatts to avoid a total shutdown of the system.
Now, what is the impact on industry?
The impact is quite severe on industry. People cannot predict when the machines will be working in factories. For instance, someone was talking about the harbor that a lot of the containers that had come in by ship from abroad were parked outside the harbour in Cape Town waiting for the power to come on. And that has now created a bit of a queue there. So the impact is quite negative. And President Ramaphosa has said that he's quite worried about the economy, which he's been trying to kickstart. It's been quite a low growth economy.
And he actually announced last week that he would break up Eskom into three different operations. Do you think that's going to help?
Well, the unions have vowed to fight that plan. And they were arguing that it's the onset of privatization, which they're totally against. President Ramaphosa said that he plans to unbundle Eskom into three entities. He thought that would be much better to manage than now as this huge elephant organization.
Milton and Cozy. Now, many of Europe's midwinter vegetables are grown in southern Spain. But will a steady supply still be available after Britain leaves the European Union in March? The BBC's Emma Simpson reports.
You can already smell how the tomatoes will be on your stores.
It smells wonderful already.
It is, yes. It
Jorge
is.
Broton knows how to grow cherry tomatoes. He's part of the team at Benissa. They've been sending tomatoes to British supermarkets for more than 50 years.
We are growing about 60 million kilos per year of tomatoes.
60 million?
Yes.
And a third of them end up on British dining tables. Inside the factory, there's a continuous flow of tomatoes on the conveyor belt. It's a well-oiled machine, but how will trade flow after Brexit?
The truth is that with no deal, we will have more cost to add into the chain.
He thinks it could be at least another 10%, from extra staff to process customs forms to potential tariffs. This perishable product is picked and packed in just 24 hours.
So it's now 5 p.m. on Monday and 20,000 kilos of tomatoes are now going onto this lorry. and the clock's now ticking because the supermarkets want them on the shelves by Friday.
A 2,000-kilometre journey now lies ahead. The driver is heading to Cali. He works for Trotta, a Spanish haulage company. Its boss, Angel Jimenez, is also worried.
We haven't been prepared enough. It could have a huge impact on the volume that we transport to UK.
Our lorries finally arrived at the Eurotunnel border crossing. It's the fastest route for freight traffic to the UK and soon to be the Brexit front line. John Keefe, head of public affairs at Eurotunnel, says they're ready.
Hard Brexit, soft Brexit. We've been preparing for this for 2.5 years.
Can you guarantee everyone else will be ready?
No. Over the last 25 years, none of our customers coming through here have ever had to make a customs declaration.
Our tomatoes reach England early Thursday morning, the final leg of the journey before they reach the shelves. The story of the small cherry tomato highlights just how reliant the UK is on fresh produce from the EU.
Emma Simpson following those ripe winter tomatoes from Spain to Britain. Grab our podcast wherever you can. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.